Okay, we were in 1 Kings 13. We saw that the, you know, we've been through the kings of Israel. The first king was Saul, and we saw what happened to him. He started out, he had Holy Spirit, and after a couple of years, he just didn't do his best, and he turned away from God. And then we saw David, a man after God's own heart, and how he stood upon your word for many, many, many years, and how you blessed him and made great promises, among which was that the Messiah would come from his bloodline and that the Messiah would sit on his throne forever. And then we saw his son Solomon, how he started out in such a wonderful way and was so great, and he was the wisest man, and God blessed him with riches, and they had peace all around, and he built the temple. But then he married strange women, and they took his heart away. And so then we saw a man of God come to Jeroboam, who was a servant of Solomon, and told him that he would give him the 10 tribes. He would split the kingdom in two, and he would give the kingdom of Israel to Jeroboam, and if he would obey God and stick to his word, that he would bless him. And of course, Jeroboam turned right around and did not. Matter of fact, he made golden calves and set up false priests and all kinds of stuff. So, and then Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, and he took over the kingdom of Judah, and it was Judah and Benjamin. So we finished in chapter 13, and we stopped at, I think, verse 4 or something, right? Was that right? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we'll start in verse 1 again, because we heard about this man of God who was not named, and he came to Jeroboam after Jeroboam had turned away from God and set up his own gods and his own priests. And it says, "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." So this man of God came to speak to Jeroboam in Bethel by revelation. God told him. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." And, you know, later on, Josiah is born, and we see what he does. We get to that, we'll maybe refer back to this prophecy. But he's one of the few men in the Bible that is prophesied ahead of time by name. Of course, Jesus Christ was prophesied of, and John the Baptist, but anyway, Josiah is prophesied of by name. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold upon him." And his hand, which he put forth again against him, dried up so that he could not pull it in again to him. So we read this last week, but he pointed at the man of God, and he said, "Arrest him." And when he did that, his arm withered. It just dried up. and he had no muscles, no strength in it. And it says in verse 5, the altar also was rent. That means it's split, right? The altar was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. So his, you know, God did not allow that man's words to fall. He kept the word and fulfilled the prophecy of the altar. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, pray for me that my hand may be restored again to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was before. That's a pretty loving God. You know, here's a guy that he had called out, given a kingdom to, and the guy turned his back on God, made false gods, and then when he asks for deliverance, the man of God prays for him, and he gets healed. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thy house, I will not go with thee, in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink no water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went the other way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So this man of God left, but he really confronted Jeroboam. But look what happens to this man of God. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to the father. So here's this old prophet. Again, he's not named. And apparently he was a prophet. He's an old prophet. He never stopped being a prophet, but he stopped serving God. And their father said unto him, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. So he's going to go find this guy. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. So he's an old man of God. He's not named. And he dresses the other man as the man of God that came out of Judah. So he really respects this guy. And so verse 16, and he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Well, so we see that although this guy was an old prophet, I mean, that's what the word of God says. He was an old prophet. He's no longer walking with God, and he lied. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. all of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to that old prophet. He hasn't probably heard from God in years, and all of a sudden, now he hears from him again. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him. And the carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. So this man, the man of God, this younger man, he goes to eat with the old prophet. The old prophet then gets revelation and says, well, you disobeyed the Lord. You're never going to go back and see, you know, your home where your fathers are buried. And so the old prophet saddles him, his ass, sends him on his way. And as soon as he's on his way, a lion kills him. And then the lion and the ass are standing next to the carcass. Now that's a pretty unusual thing in itself. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way he heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. And he spake unto his son, saying, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled him, and he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. This is a pretty, God must have given him a sedative, because he didn't do anything. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. So this old prophet realized that this man of God was truly a man of God, and he caused his death by inviting him back. And of course, that man had free will to refuse, but he didn't. But he says, you know, all that he prophesied against Samaria and against these cities of Jeroboam and the high places, it's going to come to pass. And that, again, is, you know, we went months ago, I don't know when we looked at it, but it talks in Deuteronomy about the measure of a prophet is that his words come to pass. After this thing, verse 33, after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way. You know, so he got confronted by this man of God. The altar rent, the ashes fell on the ground. He saw himself healed, but he didn't return from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people, priests in the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him and became one of the priests of the high places. he consecrated these high priests. Remember when we talked about the anointed of the Lord? Well, the word for anointed is the word kadesh in Hebrew, and sometimes it's translated consecrated. However, in this instance, the word consecrated is a different word. Here it means to fill up. So, again, he picked or chose priests, whoever he wanted, and he consecrated them. He set them in their position and became, they became the priests of the high places that he had set up. And this thing became a sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. The result of Jeroboam's sin and God's judgment was that his bloodline, his family, is going to be finished. It's going to be shut off. It's not going to continue. So that was quite a thing. Here's a guy that had a great promise from God that if he followed God's commandments and obeyed God, God would bless him and his family would continue to rule in Israel. And he turned away from God, made golden calves to worship, set up high places, set up false priests, and because of it, his family suffered. Now, chapter 14, we get another man of God. And we're going to see a bunch now, because we have prophets throughout this section of Kings, into 2 Kings, and there's a few of them. We've already seen, we see Nathan, Ahijah, Edo, a couple others, Shemaiah. Anyway, at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. So, that's the son of Jeroboam. Remember what God just said? His family was going to be cut off. They would be off the face of the earth. Well, his son fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh, and behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people." That's the prophet that originally told Jeroboam, right? He's a man of God. He's got the Spirit of God. He speaks for God. He delivers God's messages. He speaks to God. And he says, "And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." So, you know, he turned his back on God, but now that his son is sick, he wants help from the man of God. And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. So Ahijah is old and blind physically, but he's still a prophet. He's still walking with God. He's still listening to God. And, you know, for men of God, there's no age requirements. It's, you know, you don't have to be of a certain age, and it doesn't matter how old you get if you continue to listen to God. It's the way it is. I mean, eventually we're going to get to the book of Daniel, and Daniel would qualify as a prophet, and he started out as a teenager. So here this Ahijah is now an old man, and he's blind. And this woman comes, and she has disguised herself so that people won't recognize her as the wife of Jeroboam. And the Lord said to Ahijah, see, even though the man's blind, God can still see, right? So the Lord said to Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus, and thou shalt say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman. So he says, so the wife of Jeroboam's coming and she's dressed up and going to pretend to be somebody else. And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with a heavy tidings. So what a welcome. She comes to ask for help for her child. She brings gifts, which was, you know, the culture, but they always brought something to the man of God when you wanted to talk to him. And when she comes in, he says, why are you pretending to be somebody you're not? And I'm going to have to give you some heavy tidings. So Ahijah is definitely walking with God, listening to God, obeying God, and he's got that Spirit of God upon him. And he says, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, forasmuch as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David. So here again, we see that comparison with David. We see that comparison as he's the standard for a king according to God's choosing. He was the man after God's own heart, and he listened to God, and he walked before God. Again, he wasn't perfect, but when he made mistakes, he never turned from God. So he says, yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes. Quite a difference from what Jeroboam did. Jeroboam broke the second commandment. He made idols. He made golden calves. And then he set up false priests. And remember, in the law, only the sons of Aaron could be priests. And the Levites did the service of the temple. And here Jeroboam was just taking anybody. But hast done evil, verse 9, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger and cast me behind thy back. Wow, what a condemnation. What a condemnation. There's nothing that God really, the worst thing is, you know, to have other gods before God and to have idols. So he says, you made gods and images to provoke me, and you cast me behind thy back. You know, you just cast me aside. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, you know, no male children, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man taketh away dung till it all be gone. Wow. Which means what? There's not going to be anything left. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. So no matter where they are, they're going to die terrible deaths. Arise, therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. So whatever that young child was, God saw some good in him. And so he granted, a little grace. Pretty amazing. God didn't cut any slack to Jeroboam whatsoever, because Jeroboam turned his back on God. Fourteen. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day, but what even now? So remember, that's a prophecy right here. That's Ahijah is speaking for God. You know, these are the words of God, but they're spoken by Ahijah. He's the man of God. He's the prophet. And he's speaking these words. And it says, and we're going to see this fulfilled later on. Moreover, the Lord shall raise up him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day, but what even now? For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. Meaning, you know, groves, we think of groves as a stand of trees, but in those days, what it referred to was they made idols, and they would have, you know, a whole thing of idols, and it would be like totem poles or obelisks or, memorials where you have a spire. That's what the groves were, and they'd have a lot of them in a certain section. So they were building these things, and it provoked God to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. So that's kind of the thing of Jeroboam. So, and Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the days of Jeroboam that reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers. And Nadab, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay, now, if you just hold your place here and go to 2 Chronicles 13, and it says in verse 20, neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. So now we have to look. We go back to 14, 1 Kings 14, and now we're going to look at the reign of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. We read some stuff before about him. His mother was an Ammonite who worshipped Molech. And it also said Rehoboam started at age 16, but here it's gonna say that it was 41. So I don't know the discrepancy there. But then later on in the Septuagint, it also says 41. But they did different things about reigning. When he was of age and his father was still alive, it could say he started reigning, meaning he began his adult life and he started doing stuff for his father. But then he didn't really take over the kingdom maybe till he was 41. There's things like that. Anyway, verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. So his mother was an Ammonitess, and she was one of those strange women that Solomon married, right? Mm-hmm. Which turned Solomon's heart away from God. Mm-hmm. So she's one of those women. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every high green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to the abomination of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. I had to stop there because Sodomites, of course, we know of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodomite, there's a sin called sodomy, right? And that comes from Sodom, the city of Sodom. But Sodomites are mentioned several times in the Word of God. So I want you to hold your place here and go to Deuteronomy 23. Because it kind of helps us to understand what it's talking about. And verse 17. Of course, this is where Moses is instructing Israel before they enter in the promised land. And it says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a Sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. And so on and so forth. So here it says, no whore of the daughters of Israel nor Sodomite of the sons of Israel, which must mean some kind of male sexual something, pervert, whatever. Let's go back to 1 Kings and then 15 verse 9, it says, and in the, you know, everybody there, I'll give you a second. 15 verse 9, and in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah, and 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Absalom, and Asa did that was right in the sight of the Lord. As David his father, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that were his father's had made. So Asa removed the Sodomites. So there were these people dwelling there. Of course, you know, we have these kings that turned away from God in between. And then let's go to 2 Kings chapter 23. And verse 7. And this has to do with the king Josiah, who we just read that was prophesied of by the man of God that came out of Judah. Remember that? Josiah was going to be a king. And Josiah became king, and he was exposed to the word of God, and he was... it went into his heart, and so he determined to clean up Israel, and he did. And in verse 7 it says, and he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. So They were doing all kinds of idolatry, and the Sodomites had a house right next to the temple of God. And Asa tossed them out and got rid of them. I mean, Josiah, sorry. So let's go back to Kings 14. 1 Kings 14, and we were in chapter 24, you know, and there were Sodomites in the land. They did according to all abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So whatever the Sodomites were exactly, it wasn't a good thing.
It's in the ESV, male cult prostitutes.
Okay, and that makes sense. You know, male sexual perverts of whatever sort. And that's what they were. You know, so, you know, nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun, it says in Ecclesiastes. And certainly the sexual perversion and the wacky stuff that we see today was in the ancient times also. And certainly they had to deal with it. And what was God's way of dealing with it? They stoned them. They got rid of them. They banned it. So verse 25, it came to pass in the fifth year of the king Rehoboam, and Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Okay, so now we got a problem. Shishak of Egypt. And this is spoken of in 2 Chronicles 12 in detail. It says, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasure of the king's house, even took he it all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made, and the king Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, which means brass, shields of brass, and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did are not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah. Sure are. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 12 and we'll see about this. And 2 Chronicles 12, and we're going to start we'll start in verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. So we read a little bit about him with Jeroboam came. And Jeroboam said, you know, are you going to be lighten our load? And he said, no, I'm going to make it worse. Remember that? We saw that last week. Well, now we're going to see what Rehoboam was like. So he turned away from the law of the Lord and took Israel with him. Because whichever way the king goes, a lot of the people go with him. And it's true today, you know, whichever way the leader of a country is, you know, people are going to follow him. Why? Well, it's to their advantage, you know. They, you know, for money, power, favor, fear, whatever. So these people went along with Rehoboam. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And because they had transgressed against the Lord, with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, and the Lubims and the Sukims and the Ethiopians, and he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came into Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah the prophet. Here we got Shemaiah the prophet again. That man of God. And he came to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak, or Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. So this man of God is sent, you know, God, he speaks for God, and he says, you know, the reason you're in this trouble is because you turned your back on God. And so they go, uh-oh. And they humble themselves, they get down on their hands and knees, and they say, the Lord is righteous. I don't know if they got on their hands and knees, but they humbled themselves. They were scared, and they wanted God's help when it came time. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah saying, so the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God. He's speaking for God. They have humbled themselves. Therefore, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. He doesn't say he's going to grant them total deliverance, but he's going to grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So God's teaching them a lesson. He said, you know, they're going to understand what service means. So Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Now, how much treasure was there in Jerusalem because of Solomon? You know? And this king of Egypt came and took it all. Remember the description of his throne, and all the kings of the world came and offered him all that stuff. And it says, Shishak took it all, and he carried it away. Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them into the hands of the chief guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. So, you know, in Kings, it gave us a quick summary, but here it gives us a little more detail. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again to the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also Judah, things went well. That's kind of cool, isn't it? So he turned back to God, and because of it, also in Judah, things went well. So everything turned around when Rehoboam turned back to God and humbled himself. Pretty amazing. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem, and he reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And Abijah his son reigned in his stead. So, you know, again, this is one of the promises that God made to David was that, you know, his family line would carry on. And then when he split the kingdom, he said, for David's sake, I will allow his family to continue to rule in Judah. So it went to Solomon, and then Solomon screwed up, and then so Rehoboam took over, and now his son's going to take over. In the Septuagint, it speaks how of all the Levites were kicked out of Israel as Jeroboam set up his own priests. He also ejected all those who set their heart to follow the Lord Jehovah. So if we were to read in different sections of the Septuagint that go along with this, we'll see that the Levites and the priests were kicked out of Israel, you know, because he set up his own priesthood, right? He didn't want these guys, you know, going against them. And then all the people that wanted to continue to follow the Lord Jehovah, he also got rid of them. So now we go back to 1 Kings. How are we doing on time? 8:20? Oh, man, that took a long time. Huh. We're never going to get through all this, but we'll get through a little bit of it. Chapter 15. Now in the 18th year of the king Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. That's the son of Rehoboam, right? Or Abijah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father.
Wait, where are we?
Chapter 15 of 1 Kings. That's okay. You're just going to miss out, that's all. So, what does that tell us about Abijam? It says he walked in all the sins of his father. His father was, you know, not a nice guy. He put a yoke on the people, and then he turned away from God for a while. And then when the Egyptians came, he turned back because, you know, he saw how badly things went. So then he dies, and Abijam takes over. And his heart is not perfect with the Lord his God as David's was. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So, again, David is set up as what? The standard. You know, you look at him, and in God's eyes, you know, David was great. It's the same thing with his promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know, the people, the children of the 12 tribes of Israel were no great shakes. And when they went into the land of Egypt, because Joseph saved them from famine, and then they prospered, and then they went into slavery, well, they were very comfortable living in slavery. And then they come out into the wilderness, and they're the chosen people. But why were they the chosen people? It says because he loved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here, these guys are no great shakes, but he allows them to rule on the throne because of David, because he loves David so much. Verse 6, and there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So now we have to go back to Chronicles to find out about Abijam. So you go back to 2 Chronicles 13. And we'll do this, and then we'll finish up for the night. Now, in the 18th year of the king Jeroboam, Abijam began to reign over Judah, and he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Micaiah, the son of Uriel of Gibeah, and there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array. Now, Abijah and Abijam in Kings, the same guy, right? They just spell it different. I don't know why. Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 men, chosen men being mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaramaram, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. When Rehoboam was young and tenderhearted, he could not withstand them. And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves which Jeroboam made you for gods. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of nations of the land?" So here it tells you about he cast out or kicked out the Levites and the sons of Aaron. "So that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening, burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold with lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry the alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper." So Abijam sounds pretty good here. "But Jeroboam caused an ambush to come behind them so that they were before Judah, and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass God smote Jeroboam and all the Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with great slaughter, so there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam and took the cities from him, Bethel, with the towers thereof, and Jeshanah with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towers towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah waxed mighty and married 14 wives and begot 22 sons and 16 daughters. And the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophets, of the prophet Iddo. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. So we're going to stop there, and then we'll pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 11 is where we'll pick it up again, we left off in verse 7, so we'll pick it up in verse 8. And we'll carry on, because that's what it says, Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay? So, that's it for tonight. Father God, we thank you for loving us, for caring for us, and taking care of us in such a great way. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.